Have you ever wondered why some leaders can inspire extraordinary performance while others only manage mediocrity? Tim Irwin's Extraordinary Influence might be the leadership manual you never knew you needed. This bestseller has become required reading at companies like Chick-fil-A and has been praised by leadership experts including John Maxwell and Patrick Lencioni. What makes it stand out in the crowded leadership genre is its revolutionary approach. Rather than focusing on criticism as a tool for improvement, Irwin draws on neuroscience to demonstrate how affirmation literally rewires our brains for excellence. The book has gained particular traction in an era when toxic workplace cultures make headlines, offering a science-backed alternative that produces both better results and healthier environments. As one executive put it, this isn't just feel-good fluff, it's the hardest science on how to actually bring out the best in people. Imagine vacationing in Portugal, eating disappointing packed meals from a blue suitcase, only to discover on your final day that your hotel rate included access to a magnificent dining room all along. This powerful metaphor opens Irwin's exploration of why so many organizations settle for mediocrity when excellence is available to them. The statistics are alarming. 67% of workers are disengaged, according to Gallup research, with 17.2% actively disengaged. Think about that. Two-thirds of the workforce is essentially checked out, viewing their jobs as merely a penalty box between weekends. Yet when Irwin speaks to executives, nearly all believe their employees are capable of much greater contributions but struggle to unlock this potential. This creates what Irwin calls the conundrum. How do we motivate people to perform at their best without resorting to negative consequences? It's similar to getting children to take out the garbage. We want quality, speed, and consistency, but nagging and threats produce only short-term results without sustainable transformation. The real challenge is fostering intrinsic motivation that develops not just better workers, but better people. Many leaders default to what Irwin terms macho management, a tough-minded, controlling approach that assumes workers are lazy, irresponsible, lacking ambition, and less intelligent. The language reveals the underlying assumptions. Hold his feet to the fire. Light a fire under her. Hold you accountable. These expressions reflect a control-oriented approach that may actually be counterproductive. What if there's a better way? What if we could get people to work with all their heart through intrinsic motivation rather than external pressure? Recent brain science discoveries, coupled with wisdom from top CEOs, suggest there is. And it begins with understanding the transformative power of affirmation. William was devastated after his high school football team lost a heartbreaking playoff game. As he sat alone on the bench, the opposing coach approached and said something remarkable. "Son, I've been coaching for 30 years, and I've never seen a quarterback with your combination of skills, leadership, and character." Those words became deeply rooted in William's core, helping him persevere through Naval Academy challenges and military service. This is what Irwin calls words of life, affirmations that create beliefs that guide actions and satisfy our deep longing for significance. Why do humans crave affirmation? Drawing on Aristotle's concept that everyone is drawn by a telos or purpose, Irwin explains that while our ancestors focused primarily on security, most modern people prioritize significance, wanting to know their lives count for something meaningful. The most powerful affirmation occurs when someone acknowledges our character strength, forming beliefs in our core that guide our actions. Science confirms this intuition. Affirmation triggers positive neurochemical changes associated with well-being and higher performance, while criticism activates primitive brain defense mechanisms that compromise performance and motivation. Despite some leaders dismissing soft skills, there's nothing soft about affirmation. Hard scientific evidence shows it brings out the best in others. But not all positive words qualify as true affirmation. Compliments are pleasant social rituals that go skin deep, while true affirmation, derived from Latin meaning to strengthen, profoundly changes us by strengthening our core sense of self. Brain research shows affirmation buffers stress, improves cognitive thinking, enhances self-worth, increases efficiency, boosts productivity, activates positive behavior changes, releases trust hormones, supports physical health, and fosters innovation. Consider Jiro Ono, the world-renowned sushi chef whose ultimate praise, calling his apprentice a shokunin, artisan, moved the young chef to tears after 10 years and 200 rejected attempts at making egg sushi. This transformational affirmation goes beyond mere praise to recognize one's existential calling. Unfortunately, most organizations fail to harness affirmation's power, instead fostering negative, critical atmospheres with gotcha mindsets. Performance feedback systems often trigger our inherent negativity bias rather than accessing the brain's innovative problem-solving capabilities. While affirmation cannot fix every problem, some employees simply don't belong, it remains an unlimited resource that could transform workplaces, families, and even society if shared more freely. To achieve meaningful influence, affirmation must be thoughtfully directed to three dimensions in the human psyche: customary style, observable patterns that characterize us; competence, skills and abilities; and core, inner character. While affirming style and competence creates tactical influence for day-to-day interactions, affirming someone's core creates strategic, transformational influence that changes people at a deeper level. We all wear suits that represent our customary style, consistent behavioral patterns others come to expect from us. Our style significantly impacts how others receive us and our ideas, either facilitating or impeding our effectiveness. Irwin illustrates this with a humorous story about a man who takes a job wearing a gorilla suit at a zoo, only to discover when he accidentally lands in the lion's cage that the lion is also a person in costume. The effectiveness of our communication depends not just on what we say, but how we say it. Irwin presents four style types: doer, advocate, idealist, and challenger, each with distinctive characteristics. When we affirm other styles, we acknowledge their unique way of operating in the world, which creates receptivity to our ideas. Tactical affirmation must also include recognition of competence, the skills that make someone effective in their work. When leaders affirm competencies like judgment, communication, or conflict management, they create powerful opportunities for influence. Effective affirmation follows five key guidelines: showing appreciation for the competency's underlying actions, not just results; keeping accomplishments in context; providing real-time feedback; establishing trust before giving contrary feedback; and ensuring authenticity. Consider John Pepper's story at P&G. After a major mistake cost millions, his boss affirmed his potential rather than firing him, an investment in his development that eventually led to Pepper becoming CEO. Affirming competence implants positive beliefs in others' cores that form expectations about their capabilities, creating a foundation for future success. The power of tactical affirmation lies in its ability to strengthen those around us by implanting positive, uplifting beliefs in their cores, the essence of extraordinary influence. Strategic influence represents the most powerful form of affirmation, one that reaches beyond style and competence to transform a person at their core. When delivered authentically and at the right moment, these words of life can catalyze profound personal transformation. Our core represents what ancient writers metaphorically called our heart or mind, the seat of our character, conscience, courage, thoughts, feelings, attitudes, desires, and volition. While philosophers and theologians have long debated its exact location, modern science points to the complex interworking of our heart, brain, and entire body in determining behavior. This metaphysical center is where true transformation occurs when reached through authentic affirmation. Our core forms our beliefs, which directly govern our behavior. When intact and congruent, others experience us as authentic and trustworthy. When compromised, we appear arrogant and self-serving. every derailed leader Irwin has studied possessed a malfunctioning core. Our beliefs form through various channels, self-reflection, influential people, media, peers, and we must carefully vet them, as false beliefs lodge as easily as true ones and can lead to personal destruction. Words of life speak the language of the core, giving us access to another person's innermost being. When spoken authentically, they implant redemptive beliefs that produce redemptive actions. Unlike simple praise, words of life address the dimensions of character and speak directly to the core. They're not merely pats on the back, but meaningful affirmations that can become inflection points in someone's development. Many CEOs Irwin interviewed recalled specific words spoken by bosses at critical junctures that transformed their trajectory. These words became gifts that shape their future leadership. Words of life truly bring out the best in those we seek to influence. Words of life speak about character, the unassailability of our inner person. They address dimensions of our core using a vocabulary that resonates deeply. Unlike simple praise for actions, they affirm qualities that prompted those actions. 10 types of core affirmation include integrity, courage, humility, judgment, authenticity, self-regulation, wisdom, candor, resilience, and influence. Leaders transform others through intentional affirmation of another's core. Words of life require specific conditions: an intact core in ourselves, authenticity, careful consideration, character-focused vocabulary, a foundation of trust, appropriate timing, and undivided attention. These powerful affirmations must be thoughtful and sincere, whether spontaneous or planned. When delivered effectively, words of life can set a person on a new life direction or strengthen them for challenges ahead. Words have the power to build or destroy. While words of life strengthen another's core, criticism and shame can severely damage it. Anne's first-grade teacher, Miss Caldwell, demonstrated this when she publicly shamed Anne for her creative Jackson Pollock-style painting because paint splattered on the floor. This crushing experience still resides in Anne's core as a painful memory, demonstrating how negative words can create lasting damage. The workplace represents an important social tribe, and rejection there can be processed in our brains similarly to physical pain. Public criticism, like Miss Caldwell's shaming of Anne in front of her classmates, is particularly damaging. Leaders should always praise in public and correct in private. Recipients of critical feedback often hear it not as commentary on their actions, but as judgment on who they are as people, fundamentally diminishing their sense of self-worth. When criticism targets something from a person's core identity, it creates shame, an even more powerful form of diminishment than simple criticism. When Anne was criticized for her creative expression, she didn't hear it as feedback about paint splatter, but as something fundamentally wrong with her. This directly attacked her self-worth. While holding people accountable for their actions, like cleaning up paint, is appropriate, shaming and social ostracism are deeply harmful and unnecessary. Leaders who criticize harshly create a toxic legacy through imprinting. Just as baby animals imprint on whatever they see first as their mother, new employees often imprint on their first boss's management style. Negativity perpetuates across generations in organizations, just as in families. Our brains contain mirror neurons that fire when watching others' behaviors, making moods contagious. This explains why harsh leadership styles spread throughout organizations. Organizations often tolerate abusive managers who get results, only taking action when complaints become numerous or behavior egregious. Irwin expresses skepticism about coaching such managers into better behavior, noting the likelihood of success is small. Sometimes these managers might succeed elsewhere where their negative reputation hasn't been established. Irwin proposes banning the phrase constructive criticism, arguing it usually means, "I'm going to gut you emotionally, but my motives are positive." He contends there's nothing constructive about criticism and invites readers to join his cause to eradicate the term. When criticism fails to bring out the best in people, what's the alternative? Irwin introduces alliance feedback, which points out contradictions between a person's intentions and their present behavior in a supportive manner. The term alliance conveys alignment rather than judgment. Unlike critical feedback that says, "You're not meeting my expectations," alliance feedback forms a collaborative approach to help someone excel. Mr. Benson demonstrated this approach when the author made an insensitive joke about cannibalism to local farmers who collected food waste for their pigs. Rather than criticizing harshly, Mr. Benson connected the author's actions to the cafeteria's values and mission, helping him understand the impact of his words while affirming his potential. This transformative leadership moment demonstrated how effective feedback could change behavior without diminishing the person. There are two types of alliance feedback. Aspirational feedback, connecting changes to the person's own hopes and dreams, and missional feedback, linking behavior to mutually agreed organizational goals and mission. This approach provides four key benefits according to brain research: activating positive emotions and openness to new ideas, releasing oxytocin for trust and attachment, supporting physical health through the parasympathetic nervous system, and fostering receptivity to feedback. However, alliance feedback requires a foundation of trust and relationship. Some leaders weaponize feedback or lack the integrity to apply these principles effectively. If your boss lacks an intact core, seek other options, possibly finding an advocate in HR, though confronting them directly is risky. Even well-delivered alliance feedback won't work for everyone, which leads to the question of how to handle underperformers who don't respond to our best efforts. Performance problems typically stem from ineffective style, lack of competence, or a breached core. The fundamental challenge is determining how to bring out the best in those experiencing performance issues, or recognizing when problems cannot be remedied. Not everyone can be developed, and leaders must make careful judgments about when and how to invest in someone's improvement. Three cases demonstrate different approaches to performance problems. Melissa damaged the author's prized antique desk by leaving an oily muffin on its leather top. While initially distressing, this incident revealed a deeper issue. Melissa was intelligent and principled, but lacked the skills and personality for detailed administrative work. Her passion was interior design. Rather than attempting to develop skills for a poor fit position, the author provided a transition period, allowing Melissa to pursue her true aspirations in interior design. Her core wasn't flawed. She simply needed a different role that matched her strengths and interests. David showed high potential, but his executive peers didn't trust him. His problems included dominating conversations, showing certainty without basis, disrespecting others' opinions, pushing policy boundaries, seeking attention, and poor management of direct reports. Despite these serious issues, David possessed valuable capabilities. After receiving harsh but honest feedback through a 360 assessment, David was motivated by both the pain of reality and the prospect of advancement. Over 18 months, he transformed his behavior, improved relationships with peers, and became a strong candidate for future promotion. A rapidly growing electronics components company hired Philip as VP of Operations to address complex operational challenges. Initially appearing perfect for bringing order to chaos, Philip's darker personality traits emerged under stress. He pried into employees' personal lives, criticized the CEO, displayed arrogance, made offensive comments to female staff, and created dissension. Despite coaching attempts and a written warning, his behavior didn't improve. Irwin's friend ultimately fired him, recognizing that Philip's fundamental character flaws were causing irreparable damage to company morale and culture. Leaders must distinguish between people with problems, who can improve, and problem people, who require removal. This distinction requires honest assessment of performance, job fit, and likelihood of improvement within a reasonable time frame. While compassion is important, it must be balanced with judgment when dealing with problem people. Organizations aren't primarily healing centers for disruptive employees. The damage inflicted on teams, culture, and other employees by a toxic individual often outweighs developmental considerations. The redemptive narrative created when a problem person transforms and grows becomes a powerful cultural asset for an organization. As demonstrated by David's case, who ultimately became a CEO succession candidate, these stories of genuine change uplift the entire organization. When redemption occurs, it reinforces the value of investing in people who can genuinely change and realize their potential. Teams require balanced attention to three interdependent dimensions: the I, individual members, the we, collective team, and the it, mission or purpose. When any dimension receives disproportionate focus, team performance suffers. These dimensions function as levers a leader can use to create extraordinary influence. Like a physical lever that produces great effect from small cause, they allow leaders to maintain balance in teams. When any dimension is neglected, the entire team becomes unstable, like a three-legged stool missing a leg. Skilled leaders know how to bring the appropriate dimension to the forefront to address imbalances that inevitably arise. Despite popular slogans like "there's no I in team," individual team members require recognition and development. Ignoring individual needs invites disruption, while excessive focus on any single member drains energy from the collective. Effective leaders engage individuals through simple recognition exercises that honor each person's unique identity before shifting focus to collective concerns. Teams develop a collective self-concept that reveals their health. High-functioning teams show confidence, interdependence, and trust, while dysfunctional teams exhibit conflict, disengagement, and toxic behaviors like eye-rolling during meetings. Leaders must affirm healthy team character through words of life addressing the same 10 dimensions that apply to individuals: integrity, courage, humility, judgment, authenticity, self-regulation, wisdom, candor, resilience, and influence. A great mission transforms mundane work into a quest that provides motivation, purpose, meaning, passion, and urgency for a team. When leaders connect tasks to higher callings, like Horst Schultz at telling Ritz-Carlton housekeepers, "We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen," they elevate self-esteem and inspire excellence. Pressing meaning into tasks provides energy for high-performing teams. When organizations face trauma, like leadership misconduct or tragedy, leaders must heal all three dimensions. Eric Pillmore's work at Tyco after CEO Dennis Kozlovsky's indictment demonstrates this process. Healing requires addressing individual concerns through town halls where employees can voice frustrations, rebuilding collective trust through transparency and shared values, and establishing a new mission focused on integrity. Tyco's remarkable turnaround, from one of the 5 worst-rated companies to achieving a perfect governance score, shows how addressing all three dimensions can restore an organization's health and performance. High-potential individuals require special development approaches. Organizations recognize that a subset of their workforce, high-potential employees, or HYPOs, stand out in talent, intelligence, work ethic, and people skills. These individuals are typically promotable at least 2 levels above their current position in a shorter time frame than normal. The conundrum for senior leaders is how to develop these gifted individuals. Research with CEOs revealed that their most significant developmental experiences weren't formal education, but rather challenging job experiences with bosses who genuinely cared about their development. Beyond technical skill development, 4 specific actions accelerate HYPO's development into future leaders. First, affirm HYPO's style and competence, but especially their core. Affirmation provides high-octane fuel for HYPO's, with research showing numerous benefits, including psychological well-being, positive emotions, better interpersonal relationships, openness to new ideas, reduced stress, improved cognitive thinking, greater persistence, open-mindedness, and increased self-control. Second, encourage HYPO's to actively build and guard their core. Leaders must help high potentials understand they aren't fundamentally different from those who derail. Many derailed leaders had similar backgrounds, education, and career paths before wealth, fame, or power eroded their core. Most derailments happen quietly without public scandal, as promising leaders slip into disgrace. Third, urge hypos to lead from influence and not from position power. Position power is overrated. Even CEOs of major companies can't simply force their will on organizations without consequences. Wise organizations deliberately place hypos in roles requiring influence without formal authority, forcing them to develop collaborative leadership skills. Leading through influence creates higher levels of commitment and ownership among followers. Finally, help hypos develop courage. Developing courage is essential for senior leadership roles. The fear of rejection, of being cut from the herd, is a powerful force that prevents leaders from taking necessary risks. The word encouragement derives from the French encourager, meaning to put courage and heart into another. Words of life provide this encouragement, helping hypos develop the courage needed to reach their potential and make difficult decisions when required. Traditional performance appraisals often backfire spectacularly. While most feedback sessions aren't dramatic, they're universally dreaded experiences that typically accomplish the opposite of their intended purpose, closing communication and creating stress and resentment rather than improving performance. Employees commonly report that annual reviews are awkward, anxiety-inducing, reductionist, unhelpful, and demeaning. Despite managers' good intentions to improve employee performance, the traditional approach fails to bring out the best in people. After examining how companies like FedEx Freight have revolutionized performance management by replacing dreaded annual reviews with more frequent performance chats, Irwin explores essential elements for any effective performance feedback system. The key isn't just changing forms or processes, but transforming leadership perspectives. As Irwin states, a check-the-box system may inform, but it will not transform. One irrefutable law of human behavior is that feedback becomes dramatically more effective when delivered close to when the behavior occurs. An executive VP from a Fortune 500 company believes performance feedback should be given daily. This principle explains why FedEx Freight's shift from annual reviews to frequent performance chats represents such a profound improvement. Most performance systems focus only on what was accomplished, sometimes including how it was done, but rarely addressing who the person is at their core, where true transformation occurs. Training leaders to connect at this deeper level is essential. Rather than using criticism that activates defensive brain responses, alliance feedback ties improvement suggestions to team goals and personal aspirations. This approach engages the brain's innovation centers by connecting feedback to the employee's hopes and dreams. Trust forms the foundation for effective performance feedback, especially when delivering alliance feedback. Recipients must deeply believe you're genuinely invested in their success. Irritation or impatience triggers the amygdala's threat response, blocking transformation. The most effective approach balances encouragement with challenge, not coddling employees, but creating a genuinely developmental culture. Organizations that embrace this perspective become places where people love to work and consistently outperform competitors. Just as a space shuttle requires powerful boosters for initial lift before its onboard engines take over, parents, teachers, and coaches provide the initial thrust to launch children into their highest possible orbit before they must rely on their own internal engines. This metaphor captures the essential mission of helping children develop academically, socially, athletically, spiritually, and personally to reach their full potential, while preparing them for eventual independence. Parents must sometimes make difficult, unpopular decisions to protect their children's well-being. Irwin shares a story of a mother who interrupted football practice to pull her son off the field after receiving a poor math grade. A bold action that demonstrated unwavering commitment to her family's values. Parents regularly face tests requiring the courage to make hard decisions despite potential rejection or disapproval from others. Affirmation is extraordinarily powerful in children's development. Irwin describes a family tradition where on each person's birthday, family members share what they appreciate about the celebrant, speaking words of life into their core. As children mature, their affirmations grow more profound. Teachers and coaches who affirm both competence and character can profoundly impact students' lives, though this requires the adult to have an intact core themselves. Criticism and shame, words of death, have devastating effects when delivered by parents, teachers, and coaches. Adults who use shame as motivation often do so because they themselves were wounded by similar treatment. Irwin describes observing a toxic coach whose shaming approach should have disqualified him from working with children. Childhood experiences with critical authority figures can leave lasting neural impressions. Alliance feedback offers a powerful alternative to criticism by connecting behaviors needing improvement to a child's hopes and aspirations. For example, connecting a high schooler's poor grades with their college aspirations creates motivation without criticism. Families benefit from balancing individual development, I, family identity, we, and shared mission, it. Parents should encourage each child's individual strengths while recognizing their unique needs. The family provides a natural training ground for developing the we, a protective boundary with a distinctive identity. The it represents the family's mission, raising children to become responsible, mature adults. Without this clear purpose, children drift. Parents face the painful dilemma of when to protect children from hardship versus letting them develop resilience through adversity. Irwin shares a powerful story about his 8-year-old son, Jim, who panicked while rock climbing 30 feet up a wall during a wilderness camping trip. Despite Jim's tears and pleas, Irwin made the difficult decision to leave him up there, knowing the safety rope would prevent injury. With an instructor's calm guidance, Jim eventually overcame his fear, made it to the top, and immediately wanted to climb again. This experience became a transformative moment in Jim's development, leading to increased confidence, independence, and resilience. The power of affirmation reaches its peak during a child's teenage years, creating a critical window to positively influence their trajectory and help shape the kind of person they will become. To effectively speak words of life into a child's core, adults must first ensure their own core is sound.